We started just a few weeks ago to study about the Holy Spirit. We looked the first week at who the Holy Spirit was. We talked about the fact that He was part of the Godhead, the Trinity. Last week we started looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit was active in creation, how the Holy Spirit inspired and gave power to the prophets of old. We also saw the Holy Spirit's work during the life of Christ, what all the Holy Spirit was involved in while Christ was here on earth. This morning we're going to focus on just one part of the Holy Spirit's work, but it's a part that probably has led to as much confusion over what the Holy Spirit actually does as any other. And that is the Holy Spirit's work with the apostles. That primarily comes from three chapters in John's account of the gospel. John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And those three will be the primary chapters we're going to look at this morning. So I hope you have your Bibles with you. We're going to spend a lot of time in those chapters. These three chapters contain a record, an account of Christ's talk with His apostles. And that is the context of John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And so whatever else we learn from those three chapters, the context is Jesus talking to those 12 apostles. And if we start taking it beyond that, then we're going beyond what the Bible says. Because these chapters are about Him talking to His apostles. Recall, they are in Jerusalem. They are in the upper room. During this time, Him and the 12 apostles are going to partake of that supper, which we just partook of. He's going to wash the apostles' feet. He's going to say who's going to betray Him. A lot goes on during these three chapters. But also in these three chapters, He talks about someone who's going to come and be a comforter to the apostles. Let's begin John chapter 14, and let's begin reading in verse 16. Jesus is talking to those 12 apostles. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Christ is getting them prepared for the fact that He's going to be gone in a few days. But He wants them to understand that while He has been a comforter to them, Jesus is called a comforter in 1 John, He is called a comforter. So what He is telling them is, I'm going to have to leave you. And I've been there with you for over 3 years. I've been there to comfort you and help you. But He says, I'm going to go. But He says, after I go, I'm going to send another comforter to you. It's interesting, in the original language, the word another there is a particular word, which means another of the same kind. So He's going to send a comforter to them of the same kind that He has been to them. Very, very important point. So He's going to send a comforter to them, and the comforter would come and be with them. And that comforter, of course, He says, is the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 26 of John chapter 14. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." Now let's keep that, all of those things in mind. He's going to send them another comforter, which means that they've already had a comforter, and that was Him, but He's going to send another one to them. The word advocate that's used in the Bible comes from this same word that's translated helper that we read in verse 26. And it's interesting that these words right here appear only in the writings of John. Nobody else uses these terms but John. He was going to abide with them, the Bible says, on earth. John chapter 14, verse 17, he says, "For he dwells with you and will be in you." He is going to dwell with them, be in them, be with them. So even though Jesus was going to leave them physically, he was not going to abandon them. That's a key point. Jesus had been with the apostles for over 3 years to comfort them, help them. And he says, when I leave you physically, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to send another comforter, one of the same kind, one like me, to be with you. And that promise is given to the apostles. And that, again, is critical. So what Jesus had done for them in person, the Holy Spirit was going to do with them when He came. And again, that was given just to the apostles. He tells the apostles, if you go back to Luke's account of the gospel, at the very end of Luke's account, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus is with the apostles, just the apostles. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He told the apostles, you wait in Jerusalem, and this promise of my Father I'm going to send to you. Well, you turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven. Notice what he says. Who's there with him? The apostles. What does he say in verse 8? To the apostles, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Who was them in the context? The apostles. They were promised in Luke 24 that the promise of the Father would come to them. Jesus would send the Holy Spirit to them. But they had to wait in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, Jesus is getting ready to leave the apostles for good. He says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Again, to be your comforter, to be your encourager, to be your helper. He says, I'm not going to be with you physically anymore. They were going to witness Jesus rising up in the clouds. But he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send somebody to be with you. And so the work of the Holy Spirit here is to be a comforter, a helper, we'll see later, an advocate and a number of other things, for the apostles. He was going to directly comfort them. Jesus had directly comforted them for over 3 years. Now the Holy Spirit was going to directly comfort them. And that's why he's called a comforter. And again, this was going to come to the apostles. The word helper, I mentioned, is basically the same word as comforter, but it's a very rich word because it has a lot of connotations. It has a lot of meanings to it. It's a very, very rich word. Sometimes it's the idea of a supporter. Jesus had supported the Holy Spirit, or had supported the apostles. The Holy Spirit was going to support the apostles. It means a comforter. It means a guide, a helper, an intercessor, an instructor, and an advocate. And those are just a partial list of some of the works that the Holy Spirit was going to do directly for the apostles. Jesus didn't want the apostles, after Him being with them for over 3 years and teaching them, instructing them, showing them what they were going to do, how they needed to act, all these other things. He didn't want to just leave them, ascend into heaven, and they be entirely by themselves. So He knew they needed a comforter, a helper, a supporter, a guide. They needed all of those things because he was going to be gone and they couldn't lean on him anymore. They needed somebody else, and so he's going to send the Holy Spirit to them. Back in John chapter 14, we read verse 17, which said that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. What had happened to Jesus? Jesus, their comforter, their guide, their supporter, had been what? Seized by the world. And why was that? Because they could see Jesus. But now he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. The world cannot receive him. The word receive there has the idea of seize and take. So this is a promise to the apostles. Jesus was taken from them physically by the world. The world could see Jesus, and so the world ended up seizing Jesus. Now he says, apostles, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, but the world can't take the Holy Spirit. The world can't seize the Holy Spirit. The world can't capture the Holy Spirit because the world can't see the Holy Spirit. So it was a comfort to the apostles to know that this comforter of the same kind that was going to be sent to them, the world could not take away from them ever. See, that was encouraging to them. But it was given just to the apostles. The Holy Spirit was going to indwell them in a very special way. They were promised there, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Luke 24, verse 49, that they were going to receive power, miraculous power, when the Holy Spirit came to them. And again, it was because they needed it. So that was also going to be a great comfort to the apostles. Well, he goes on. The Holy Spirit is called, and we just read, the Spirit of truth. And he's called that because he was going to bring truth to the apostles, and the apostles was going to give that truth to the world. Notice John chapter 15, the very next chapter. John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26. This is Jesus talking to the 12 apostles, and at this time it still included Judas. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, and he's already identified the Helper as the Holy Spirit, we don't have to wonder who he's talking about. When the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you, the apostles, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. How he was going to do that? Through the apostles. And you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. He was going to send the Holy Spirit to them to testify of Christ. He's the Spirit of truth. The apostles didn't know all of the truth. They knew some of it because they had been with Jesus from the beginning. But they didn't know all the truth. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, apostles, so the Holy Spirit will reveal to you truth, testify of me. The apostles didn't know everything they needed to testify. They needed the Holy Spirit. And this was going to be a miraculous giving. The apostles didn't know all truth. They hadn't experienced it all, didn't know all of it. And so the Holy Spirit was going to reveal to them the truth, the testimony of Christ. And he was going to do it miraculously. He would cause them to remember what had happened. Now think about yourself being with someone for 3 years, over 3 years. Could you remember everything that individual said and did during 3 years? Every word in exactly the right order, or could you remember all of that? No. Because these 12 apostles were just mortal humans. They didn't have a perfect memory. They had to have the Holy Spirit. He was going to help them remember things. Help them remember. Go to John 16 again. Now notice verse 12. John 16. Jesus is talking to his apostles. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. See, they were just humans. They couldn't take it all in now. They weren't ready for it all now. He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. See, the apostles weren't capable. They weren't able to take all of this in. They were just like you and I. Same type of minds. They could forget things. They could get things switched around. And again, they didn't know all the truth. So the Holy Spirit had to come to the apostles directly, miraculously, to reveal all the truth to them at the appropriate time. This was an ongoing process for the apostles. The Holy Spirit didn't just dump everything in them and say, okay, I'm done. It says you can't bear all of it now. So the Holy Spirit is going to come to you to reveal, continue to reveal the truth to you when it needed to be revealed. That was the Holy Spirit's work for these apostles. So John chapter 16 is a critical chapter in understanding that. You know, the apostles were, when Jesus told them that He was leaving, they were filled with sorrow, weren't they? Look at John chapter 16, verses 5 and 6. Jesus tells the apostles, but now I go away to Him who sent Me, and none of you ask Me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. See, they were sad that Jesus was leaving. Their comforter, their helper, their guide, their supporter was leaving. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. He says, you may not realize it, but it's to your advantage that I leave. Because He says the Holy Spirit cannot come to you to comfort you, support you, guide you, teach you, instruct you, until I leave. He says, I know I've been a comforter to you and a supporter of you, and I've revealed truth to you, but it's absolutely necessary that I leave, because the Holy Spirit can't come to you until I depart. That's what He tells these apostles. And again, He's telling the apostles that. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you miraculously, directly. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you miraculously, directly. They're not going to be studying anything. It's going to be imparted to them directly. They will tell things they didn't know before, experienced before, because the Holy Spirit was going to tell them those things. What was the Holy Spirit going to do? John 16, verse 8. And when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. This was what the Holy Spirit was going to do through the apostles. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit started doing when? The day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit, speaking through the apostles, started to convict the world of sin. Because at the end of that lesson, what did the people say? Men and brethren, what shall we do? You've convicted us of sin. You've convicted us that I need to do something about my condition. So while it was the apostles talking, it was the Holy Spirit working through them. And that was a job of the Holy Spirit, to tell the apostles what to say, to reveal the truth to them so they would know what to say. And through the apostles, the Holy Spirit was convicting the world of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. And the result was thousands of people that day responded to that invitation. That it was the Spirit working through the apostles that caused that to happen. In 1 Corinthians, we've been staying pretty much in John, but I want us to notice something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9, because it talks about this relationship between the Spirit and the Father and what the Spirit was to do. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And the context is talking about what the gospel was bringing to the world. Redemption, salvation, forgiveness. Notice verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Paul wrote this. Paul was an apostle. Paul was inspired with the Spirit. Paul was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit directly empowered Paul, directly told Paul what to write and what to say. Because Paul didn't know all the truth. So the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, we the apostles, not everybody, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice what the Holy Spirit was doing. Again, it was revealing truth through the apostles, revealing the mind of God through the apostles. And so the apostles and Paul, of course, the last apostle, revealed truth. But it was because the Holy Spirit dwelled within them, revealed truth to them, so that they would never make a mistake. If the Holy Spirit hadn't been with those apostles, those writers, there's no way we would have the gospel without mistakes and errors and everything else. Because they would have forgotten stuff, they would have put stuff in that they thought Jesus had said or whatever, and we wouldn't have an inerrant, inspired Word of God. But because the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles, we know that we have a perfect Word, an inerrant, no errors Word. And so the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God, God's will, to those apostles. That's what Jesus said He was going to do to the apostles in the upper room. And then that's what the Holy Spirit told Paul, Paul being that last chosen apostle. So the apostles didn't originate truth. You look at any of the writings, it wasn't originated by the apostles. It came from the mind of God as revealed by the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit's work. But when we look at all those verses in John 14 and 15 and 16 that says God's going to send a comforter to you to reveal truth to you, so many people in the world, millions of them, believe the Holy Spirit will directly come to them personally and reveal truth. That's why many don't read the Bible, don't do anything, because they're waiting on the Holy Spirit to reveal something to them miraculously and directly because of those verses. And that's why it's so important that we understand those three chapters are talking about the apostles. Doesn't mean we can't make applications, but the point is the work of the Holy Spirit was for those apostles in that particular case. The Holy Spirit does not reveal all truth to me miraculously. The Holy Spirit does not tell me the truth miraculously. The only way I can know the truth is to read the work that's been left to me by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revealed all truth to everybody. And it's right before us. But He didn't do it miraculously to me. And I did not and could not sit around waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell me miraculously so that I would know every word in the Bible and never have to study it. No, that was only promised to the apostles. Not promised to us. So when we look at those three chapters, always remember that that work of the Holy Spirit in those three chapters was given to the apostles. To take something out of that and say the Holy Spirit miraculously indwells me, miraculously reveals truth to me, miraculously empowers me, is to take something way out of context and to teach something that the Bible never, ever teaches. So is the Holy Spirit not our comforter? Oh, yes, He is our comforter. Is He our advocate? Absolutely. Is He our supporter? Definitely. Is He our guide? Definitely. But how does He do that? How does He reveal truth to me? Not through experiences, not through visions. He reveals the truth to me every time I open up God's Word and study it with an open mind. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to me. But that's not miraculously done. And He doesn't miraculously empower me to understand God's Word. I have to study it and study it. It's the Holy Spirit's words, but they're not revealed to me miraculously. I have an important, necessary part to play in me coming to a knowledge of the truth. And by studying a knowledge of the truth, by studying God's Word, we know how God desires us to be saved in this age. It all begins with a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That faith, which is not a miraculous faith, it's based upon God's Word. And that faith then leads me, not miraculously, to repent, make an inward change that results in outward change of behavior. And then it reveals to me that I'm to confess Jesus before men and then be immersed, experience the new birth, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And then it tells me that I'm to continue to confess my sins, 1 John chapter 1. The Holy Spirit reveals that to me through the written Word. Not miraculously, not in visions, not in experiences, but through the Word. And that's what He tells us today. So are we going to grieve the Holy Spirit? Cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved by rejecting Him? Or do we accept what He says? If we wait for Him to speak to us miraculously and directly, we'll wait all of our lives. But He is speaking to us today through the pages of this book. So what will you do about it? If you have a desire to come, I encourage you to do so as we stand and sing this song.